Brothers and sisters, respected friends and young people, it's a very exciting topic we have studied so far this weekend, and it just gets better and better. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's exhortation. But tonight we're going to be looking at the subject of angels with regard to God manifestation. And we're going to get a glimpse into what eternal life is really about through the work of these celestial beings. And we'll be able to see this evening how Yahweh moves the nations through those who he calls ministering spirits. How he ministers to us through these ministering spirits, those who would be the heirs of salvation. And hopefully this evening, we're going to understand a little more of what it is like to be equal unto the angels. From the very first verse in Genesis, right through into the book of the Apocalypse, Revelation, we see the work of the angels. Who exactly are these beings? Well, most of the time we find the word angel in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word malak, which comes from a word that means to dispatch as a messenger. Most of us know that the angels of God are dispatched for many different reasons. And this evening we'd like to delve into this subject just a little more. Hebrews chapter 2 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." Now this is a direct quote from the book of Psalms, where it actually says exactly the same thing. "What is man that thou art mindful of him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." The Hebrew here in the Psalms really helps us to understand angels a little more clearly. The Hebrew word for angels here is actually the Hebrew name Elohim. So we know that the angels from these two verses are in fact the Elohim. This is the same Hebrew name that we find in the very first book of the Bible, very first verse. "In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth." As we found out this morning with Brother Lee's talk, Elohim is a plural word meaning mighty ones. All the angels combined are the Elohim. Two angels together would be Elohim. The singular form of Elohim is Eloah, meaning mighty one. Now the angel's complete being is performing the work of Yahweh, the work of the Father, which they do without wavering, with reverence to the one and only omnipotent Father of all. The scriptures never speak to us of rebellious angels or fallen angels. We know when we look to the meaning of the word angels, in many cases it's referring to messengers, which could be either mortal or immortal. So we have to look at the scriptures, look at the context to try and decipher whether when we read the word angels, it's talking of the immortal angels of God or whether it's talking of men. What do they look like? How do they appear? The earliest Christian art dated around the 3rd century, shows an angel with no wings. It's a picture in the top left. But later in the 3rd century, pictures of angels were painted with wings and halos. A little bit later, chubby little babies with wings playing harps or shooting arrows were painted. But we can forget all of that, because that is not how the Word of Yahweh gives us insight into these spiritual beings. It's not so much as what they look like, but more how do they appear? How do they appear to man? What say the scriptures concerning this? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." We were made in the image of the Elohim, in the image of the angels. Angels commonly appear to us, or to those in the scriptures, as men. But when the angel at the tomb appeared, his appearance was terrifying. Matthew 28, "His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." And yet, this angel did not appear in all of his glory. What is their function? What do they do? I can tell you this, the angels are not henchmen just waiting for us to fail. They're not there to please us. They're there to perform the words of Hebrews chapter 1. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? To minister to someone is to give service, care, to give them aid, to attend to their wants or necessities. That's right, the angels are on our side. They minister to us in ways we cannot possibly imagine. They work in our lives, even though we may be oblivious to the fact. Let's look at the angels to see how they work with the nations. And we might be able to understand how they work with us without us even knowing. Daniel chapter 4 speaks to us of the watchers, even holy ones. And these watchers or holy ones issue a decree for us. For the living, that's us, that we might understand that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and he gives the land and kingdoms to whoever he sees fit. It's these watchers, brethren and sisters, that we're going to look at this evening. Gabriel said in Daniel chapter 10, he was talking to Daniel. He said, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy Elohim, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Daniel had prayed for help. 21 days later, after his prayer, the angel showed up. Gabriel was working with the nations, trying to align the principalities and powers of the day to bring about Yahweh's purpose on this earth. But the prince of Persia was not cooperating. Gabriel was trying to direct him with ways that would seem natural to those onlookers. Of course, he could have forced the Prince of Persia to do whatever he wanted, but it had to look natural. It had to look like a natural process with no angelic direction. It was only when Michael, and note that phrase, one of the chief princes came, that with his help, Gabriel was able to perform this task. He could get the job finished, and then he was there to help Daniel in his prayer. It's a fact that angels are individuals, even though they work together. They have different names. They have varying degrees of responsibility, varying degrees of power and knowledge. None of them are quite the same, just as you and I are not the same. And we know that all of us hope to have a part and a place in God's great and glorious kingdom. And we know that if we are accepted, we will all gain different positions. As we said, of the angels, all are Elohim, but some are called Yahweh Elohim. Some are chief princes. One is the archangel. What's an archangel? Arch is has the same meaning as in the words matriarch, monarch, or hierarchy, the leader of the angels. Can we think how angels have affected us in our lives? Have we seen providence in our own lives? Have we had prayers answered? Maybe we have prayed for help and not received an answer. What we consider a timely manner may not necessarily be on the same time frame as angelic and divine time. I'll show you an example. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the court of Abijah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years, and it came to pass that while he was executing the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thy prayer is heard. He was 80 years old. He would have prayed for a baby maybe when the couple were in their 20s, maybe their 30s, but certainly not in his 80s. He probably had even forgotten he had made the prayer. But what God considers a reasonable amount of time does not necessarily fit with us. We know this couple would indeed receive a child who would be the greatest part of God's manifestation, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give up if you feel your prayer is not being answered. Give it time. We need to have patience. The scriptures say that the angel of Yahweh encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. But what if we do not fear him as once we did? What if we no longer fear him at all because we hold the truth so lightly? Could there be a point in our life when our angel senses no fear from us at all and no longer wishes to encamp around us? That's a sobering thought. What if we go to places that we shouldn't? Do you think the angel would go with us? Do we continue to go to these places? There are three angels named in the scriptures. Gabriel and Michael are two of them. Note both of these angels have part of their names that are another name and title of the deity. Gabriel and Michael. Ael symbolizes the might or power of Yahweh, the power in create. In Isaiah 43 we read, "Before me there was no Ael form, neither shall there be after me." Ael is the power by which the work of the creation took place, the power by which the angels live and perform their duties, the power by which each of us live and move and have our very being. David had a wonderful knowledge of God manifestation. He said in Psalm 18, "It is Ael that girdeth me with strength." Back to the names of these two angels. Gabriel means mighty warrior of God, mighty warrior of Ael. Now, thanks to Brother Matthew giving me 15 extra minutes from earlier, I'm going to just go into something else that I didn't think I'd have time to talk about tonight. So if everyone can pick your Bibles up, turn to Daniel chapter 8. I just want to show something else concerning Gabriel. Just a little tidbit, something that's kind of interesting. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 13. And we read, "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Gabriel is actually mentioned here in the Hebrew. In our English version, we read, "That certain saint." If you look in the margin, if you have a King James, we're given this little piece of information, palmoni, or the number of secrets, or wonderful number. Palmoni is taken from two Hebrew words, pele, meaning wonderful. The same as we read about Christ, wonderful counselor, the mighty Ael. And mene, from many, many, tikkul upharsin, number. This angel that's spoken of here is the wonderful numberer. The wonderful numberer. And we know it was Gabriel's work to give unto Daniel so many dates, so many times. He gave unto Daniel the 70-week prophecy concerning dates and times concerning Christ. The other angel that we have is Michael, one like Ael, one like God. What about the third angel? Do you know his name? Remember that phrase used by Gabriel when addressing Daniel in Daniel chapter 10? He said, Michael, one of the chief princes. Well, Yahweh uses these chief princes in a way that maybe you haven't thought of before. You cannot get away from the fact that in John chapter 1, no man hath seen God at any time. And yet we read concerning Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, and Yahweh appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Abraham saw three men. We all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. How many angels went down to Sodom? Two. What about the third angel? Three men stood before Abraham. Yahweh appeared unto Abraham. Genesis chapter 18. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me, and if not, I will know it. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before Yahweh. Two angels went down to Sodom, and Abraham stood before Yahweh. No man can stand in the presence of Yahweh and yet live. This third angel was named Yahweh. Let me explain. This angel was the direct representative of Yahweh. He was one of the chief princes. When he spoke, it was as if Yahweh was speaking. He could refer to himself in the first person as Yahweh. I'll show you another example. Moses and Israel were told in Exodus chapter 23, starting in verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thy adversaries. They were not to upset this angel, because this angel was one of the chief princes, and it was, although they were dealing with the Almighty Himself. This time of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness is also written of in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 63. And we read, I will mention the loving kindnesses of Yahweh and the praises of Yahweh according to all that Yahweh hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. See the character of our Creator here? The loving kindnesses shown to Israel. The angel of his presence that went before Israel. He was afflicted. Afflicted with the afflictions of Israel. The pain and troubles Israel felt. And he was able to relay those feelings, those afflictions to the Father. Does this sound familiar in any way? Brother Gary will take this one step further tomorrow morning, God willing, when he talks about our Lord and Savior, our Mediator, the one who knows what it is like to be flesh on this earth. God manifested in the flesh. We know God doesn't change. So we can assume that what the angels of God did in the past, they still continue to do. So the angels of God can feel our afflictions. They can feel our pain. We can gain great comfort from this. But the angel of Yahweh's presence, we're told, was with Israel until the incident of the golden calf. Let's see what Moses was told after that incident. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And if you just read it, you'll look over this next part. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Remember the varying degree of responsibility? The various positions angels have in God manifestation? We know before it was the angel of Yahweh's presence that was with Israel. But now because of disobedience and idolatry, he was removed. I will not go up in the midst of thee. The angel of Yahweh's presence was removed from the camp. And if we dare say, an angel of less stature was assigned to the task. But for Moses, this wasn't good enough. He wanted Yahweh amongst them so that he could be assured that the job would get done in the best possible manner. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. This wasn't the regular tabernacle that we are used to. This was actually the tent of meeting. And we read, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and Yahweh talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man at his tent door. And Yahweh spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And Yahweh spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. The angel of Yahweh's presence could not deal with Israel from within the camp. But because of some wisdom shown on Moses' behalf, Yahweh could now deal with Israel again through Moses, through the angel of his presence, from without the camp. We know the story that happened after this. The angel going by, putting Moses in the cleft of the rock. Moses wanted to see the glory of Yahweh. But we know Yahweh has never dealt directly with man. But as used on many occasions, those of the chief princes, or the angel of his presence, or any of the Elohim. But we know in this instance, Yahweh could have never revealed his glory to a man, or that man would perish. Even the angel of Yahweh's presence could not show, could not reveal all his glory. I wonder if you notice anything about the word angel in the two chapters in Exodus that we looked up. Behold, I send an angel in chapter 33, and I will send an angel before thee. The angel of Yahweh's presence is printed with a capital A and the replacement with an A in the lowercase. I think even the translators could see here the difference between the classes of these two angels. We know that one of these angels was the angel of Yahweh's presence. In other places in the scriptures, it indicates that that was Michael. Michael was the angel that went before Israel in the wilderness. The other angel that is mentioned in the scriptures that stands in God's presence, not the angel of God's presence, but the one that stands in God's presence, is mentioned in Luke chapter 1. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Standing in the presence of Yahweh would be an awesome privilege. But wouldn't sitting in the presence of Yahweh be even better? But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? There's only ever been one worthy to sit on Yahweh in Yahweh's presence and on his right hand. And because of this fact, we know that Michael in Daniel chapter 12 is not Michael the archangel. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. To stand up would show that one had been sitting down. Christ was indeed sitting on the right hand of God, and not Michael, one of the chief princes. that gives us another clue, because Michael in Daniel chapter 12 is referred to as Michael the Great Prince. The angels have never been referred to by our Creator as great, chief, many other words, but not great. Concerning Christ, we know he was made a little lower than the angels, but now we are told that he has gone into heaven and he's on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Just think about the meaning of Michael again. One like Ael, one like God. Who greater than the only begotten Son of God? Who else could there be to fit this role? While on this subject, I want to show some more principles of God manifestation. Who is it that stands on the Mount of Olives when the Mount of Olives cleaves in two? Zechariah chapter 14. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet, and Yahweh's feet, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. When I asked the question, you said Christ in your heads, because we know it really is Christ that stands on the Mount of Olives. Until Christ, it was the angels that came in Yahweh's name. But now, all that has changed. And that now is a vital part of God manifestation. Yahweh manifested in his Son. The scriptures sometimes give us a clue, showing us when it is talking about angels, even when it may appear that it is talking about Yahweh. The clue is given is when it talks of angels standing by being ready to minister unto us. I'll show you some examples. Genesis chapter 28, and behold, Yahweh stood. Exodus 33, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and Yahweh talked with Moses. 1 Samuel, and Yahweh came and stood. Zechariah, and Yahweh came and stood. Zechariah 1 and 11, the angel of Yahweh that stood among the myrtle trees. Again, we know, as it is our hope through the words of the New Testament, that we will be made equal unto the angels. That hope is also shared in the Old Testament. And sometimes we might read over this and not grasp the full meaning of the words written. We're going to look in the book of Zechariah, which continues this theme of these angels standing by. Look at Zechariah chapter 3. It's concerning Joshua the high priest. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto all those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee. And the angel of Yahweh stood by. And the angel of Yahweh protested unto Joshua, protested is better rendered testified, saying, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And here it is, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. I will give you, Joshua, the rite of passage to walk among those that stand by, a place among the angels of God. And that promise, brethren and sisters, is extended to each and every one of us. One thing I'd just like to touch on before we close this evening is Yahweh's use of angels in the ecclesia. There were angels assigned to the seven ecclesias in Asia Minor in the book of Revelation. The things that occur in ecclesial life are known to God's holy angels. They know if we are moving ahead in the truth as an ecclesia. They know if we're stagnant. They know if we're visiting the sick or the elderly, those in prison. They see that we have study weekends or gatherings. There could be angels standing in this room right now. Maybe they're observing and rejoicing that we are furthering our knowledge of God manifestation. But just like the seven ecclesias, they see the good and the bad. They know if we have lost our first love or not. They know our works or lack thereof. They know which members in the ecclesia have defiled their garments. Whether or not our ecclesia is alive in the truth or dead. Whether or not we are cold or whether we are hot or maybe lukewarm. These ministering spirits know what's going on in our day and age. They know about the backbiting that goes on within the ecclesia. Just as we also know. We might try and deceive ourselves, but the angels of God are the watchers and hearers. How saddened they must be when they look upon the ecclesias at the rifts that are created. Are they created by us? How they must be distressed by the way that we sweep important matters under the carpet. How they must see us too busy in our personal life to deal with things that matter in ecclesial life. These angels know each member of each ecclesia. How they must yearn for us to change. But the exhortation, brethren and sisters, is there for us, just as it was there for the seven ecclesias in Asia. Repent, or else I come quickly. And Christ will be here quickly. And the words of Matthew chapter 24 will soon be a reality for all of us. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. We're going to be sat there in our homes one day. We're going to go to the door, and there we will find ourselves face to face with one of the Elohim. One of the watchers, one of those that has stood by our whole life. One that maybe had ministered unto us. One that may have saved us from danger or even from death. One that had delivered us from temptation. One that would have felt our pain. One that would have felt our afflictions. One that maybe saw us sin time after time. an angel of Yahweh that knows us better than we even know ourselves. Jacob saw an angel face to face. He wrestled with one throughout the night. We all know that story. He called the name of that place Penuel, the face of God. He wrestled until he would finally acknowledge that relying on one's own self was futile. He, like all of us, needs help from God, help from his ministering spirits. Maybe some of us, brethren and sisters, have been wrestling with our angel for many years. So, as time has run out for this evening's talk, and as time has almost run out for our probation, the angel of Yahweh will soon take us by the hand and bring us unto that great judgment seat of our Lord. May it be, brethren and sisters, that the ministering spirits that are sent forth for those that be heirs of salvation will be able to say in truth unto each of us, in the words of Gabriel, "Fear not, man or woman, greatly beloved." May it be also that each of us here will be granted a place, a part, whatever that part may be, in the great and glorious kingdom of God in that day, when indeed, as Yahweh has promised, we will be, each of us, equal unto the angels.